This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, January 24th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, the government wants to make it tougher for residents to receive photo ID cards. Illinois Public Radio's Jenna Dooley will have a story on that, and we'll have a look at your very chilly AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, a look at today's news. A Champaign lawmaker says the time has come to bring a progressive state income tax to Illinois. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
The state constitution requires that the Illinois income tax be a flat tax, the same rate for all income levels. State Senator Mike Frericks of Champaign says that's kept Illinois from raising enough money for schools, capital projects, and other needs because tax hikes put a greater effective burden on middle and low-income residents than on those in higher tax brackets. Frericks says a graduated tax rate would make it easier for the state to raise money for essential services, and he thinks many with higher incomes will be ready to support the change.
That they understand this society has been good to them. They've allowed them to accumulate a lot of wealth, and they understand the fairness issue. Even though it means some more to them, you'll find plenty of people at the upper tax bracket who will be supporting this.
Frericks spoke Wednesday night at a public meeting in Champaign to drum up support for a constitutional amendment allowing but not requiring a graduated income tax. If passed by lawmakers this spring, it could go on the November ballot, where it would need a three-fifths majority to be approved. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Former Governor George Ryan has asked the nation's highest court to reverse the racketeering and fraud conviction that sent him to federal prison. In a 37-page petition to the U.S. Supreme Court, Ryan's lawyers said his chances of getting a fair trial were wrecked when the judge replaced two jurors with alternates after deliberations were already underway. It said the opinions of the jurors on the case were already known at the time that the trial judge Rebecca Pallmeyer replaced the two jurors for omitting mention of their police records on pretrial questionnaires. If the Supreme Court turns Ryan away, he may have to serve his sentence, possibly with 15% of the time off for good behavior. Ryan turned 74 years old on February 24th. Police are investigating the shooting death of a 34-year-old Urbana man. Officers were called to the city's east side just past 6:30 last night and discovered the victim, Paris Thompson, in an apartment in the 1700 block of East Florida Avenue. He was taken to Carl Foundation Hospital and pronounced dead about an hour later. Anyone with information about the shooting is urged to call Crime Stoppers at 373-TIPS. Supporters of a violence prevention program say they won't give up on efforts to get funding. Sean Crawford has that story.
The ceasefire program operated in numerous Illinois towns with a simple goal, to reduce gun-related crime. Those who back the idea say it was doing its job until Governor Rod Blagojevich cut ceasefire from the state budget last year. Without the $6 million, the program came to a halt. A new effort would do more than just restore that money. Susanna Mendoza, a House Democrat from Cicero, is pushing to double the state dollars for ceasefire.
I would argue that this is not a program that we can afford to cut. We are adding a significant number of gunshot victims and dead victims to the toll that we should not be proud of increasing that number.
The Illinois House approved more funding earlier this month, but that plan faces a tougher test in the Illinois Senate. The program was also hit by a state audit last year that raised red flags on how ceasefire spent money and questioned if the program was effective. Ceasefire is a faith-based initiative where mediators often intervene in disputes to prevent gun violence. I'm Sean Crawford.
The proposal includes money for ceasefire programs in Decatur, Chicago, and several suburbs. The seesaw battle over Brendan McGuinty's spot on the February 5th primary ballot prepared to take another turn yesterday. Attorneys for the Champaign County board member and his ballot petition challenger, Richard Reynolds, argued their cases before a fourth appellate district panel in Springfield. Reynolds says McGuinty's name should be taken off the Democratic primary ballot because his petition pages were misnumbered in violation of state election code. A circuit judge agreed with that argument, but McGuinty says the error is not serious enough to disqualify him.
There are people who believe that this is, you know, breaking the law or something, and I certainly didn't ever intend to do any of that. I don't believe that I have. That's why we appealed to the appellate court level.
Attorneys for both McGinty and Reynolds cited state case law in making their arguments to an appellate panel yesterday. The three-justice panel could rule as soon as today on the question, but McGinty says the ruling could come days or weeks from now, and either side could appeal it to the Illinois Supreme Court. The appellate court is letting McGinty stay on the primary ballot while they decide the case. He's running against challenger Devin Cowson in the Democratic primary on February 5th. Mississippi Attorney General Jim Hood's office is opening a new criminal investigation of State Farm Insurance. Hood says the investigation is separate from its earlier probe of the insurer's crimes against policyholders after Hurricane Katrina, but he hasn't publicly identified what it is. The Bloomington-based insurer is suing Hood for allegedly violating an agreement last year to end a criminal investigation of the company's handling of claims following the hurricane. However, in court papers filed last Friday, a lawyer for Hood says the January 2007 agreement doesn't give State Farm blanket immunity from a new investigation with a new focus and new genesis. Governor Rod Blagojevich is again asking the U.S. Air Force to keep 15 F-16 fighter planes at the Abraham Lincoln Capital Airport. In a letter this week, the governor renewed efforts to keep the planes assigned to the Illinois Air National Guard in Springfield. He's also asking the Air Force to consider making Springfield home to cargo aircraft if they decide to continue plans to move the F-16s. The jets are supposed to be moved into Indiana this year as part of a plan announced in 2005 by the Federal Base Realignment and Closure Commission. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Ever since the terrorist attacks of 2001, federal authorities have wanted to make it harder to get a driver's license or state ID card. But as Jenna Dooley reports, the changes could bring headaches to state governments and their residents.
Real ID is a response to 9/11. Make personal identification cards like driver's licenses more secure, and the threat of mass-scale terrorism will go down. But it's been more than 6 years since the attacks, and Real ID is still in the talking stages. Eventually, people will be required to show a license that has the Real ID security enhancements before boarding a plane or entering a federal building. The Department of Homeland Security issued guidelines for the new licenses, including uniform ways states should verify a person's identity before issuing the new licenses. But there are plenty of critics. Illinois lawmakers even sent a message approving a measure that urges President Bush to reject the Real ID Act. Illinois State Representative Karen Yarbrough, a Maywood Democrat, says she was against the security changes from the beginning.
I think we need to have the debate. We need to have our Secretary of State at that table to discuss what this is going to mean to the states. And then the great big issue has to do with money. They didn't send a check to the states to implement this.
Other critics question why it's taking so long to implement Real ID. The issue fell off the radar until recently, when the federal government came up with what it's terming the final rules. Those extend the timeline for states to comply, and not just by a few months, but years. Not until 2014 will anyone notice a major change. At that time, people under the age of 50 will need a Real ID to board a plane. The program will cover everyone by the year 2017. Phasing in by age lowers the initial cost and relieves the Secretary of State from pumping out all of the licenses at once. But in order to take advantage of the extensions, Illinois must show progress in becoming fully compliant. Illinois' Secretary of State's office didn't wait for the final rules before revamping driver's licenses. High-tech security features make them harder to copy, but don't make them Real ID compliant. Nathan Maddox is the senior legal advisor for the Illinois Secretary of State's office. He says the office will continue to upgrade security on its own, but he says it's up to lawmakers to decide whether or not the state will fully comply with the federal rules.
If we get to the point that the General Assembly says we're going to do Real ID and we're certified as having met the benchmarks, then the Illinois license will be accepted for federal purposes, getting on the airplanes, getting into federal facilities. And even if you don't have one that was issued after that date, the one that you issue before the effective date will still be good because they know that we are in the process of moving everybody over.
Lawmakers are also feeling the pressures of the law. State funds will have to be set aside to get it off the ground. Maddox says that's the major sticking point that may keep Illinois lawmakers from approving it. He says he's not sure just how much it will cost Illinois to implement Real ID, and adds it's hard to put a price on security.
You don't want to just buy security programs or take security steps that are particularly costly but really are not adding a great deal to your level of security. So you need to be prudent about it. But I think that we all understand the need for secure identification documents and to ensure that the people who are boarding our airplanes are who they say they are.
While cost is a factor for Illinois, Maddox says recent improvements Illinois has made with its licenses means the price tag will be lower than in other states, and with more time to comply, Illinois can consider all of its options. But there's still a concern that motorists will wind up having to foot the bill for new security measures, and by forcing people to show more documentation to obtain one, there's also the possibility it could add to what many see as the biggest pet peeve when it comes to getting a license: longer waiting lines. I'm Jenna Dooley.
In the forecast for East Central Illinois, sunny, breezy, and cold today with a high of 12 degrees. We'll have winds from the northwest 12 to 24 miles per hour. The wind chill will range between 18 and 24 below. A wind chill advisory is in effect through noon today. Clear skies tonight, the low around zero in town and 5 below in some nearby rural locations. Increasing clouds tomorrow with a high of 28. Cloudy skies tomorrow evening, a chance of a few light snow showers and flurries, the low around 20. On Saturday, mostly cloudy, a chance of a few flurries, the high 35. Saturday night, partly to mostly cloudy, the low 22. For Sunday, partly sunny skies, the high around 40. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, January 24th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wil.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.